Did you ever wonder what it's like having to do everything different from everyone else? My name is David, and coming up in the I Can't See You podcast, I'm going to tell you what it's like being a visual person with very little eyesight.
From Studio C, welcome to the I Can't See You podcast with David. He can't see, but he's got a lot to say and a face for radio.
Thanks for joining me, and welcome to episode one of the I Can't See You podcast. This is something I've been looking forward to doing for almost a year now, and tried back in September of last year to get things going, but I was having trouble with the computer that I had at the time, and finally I've got a new computer, and I am ready to roll and tell you a little about myself in this episode. In future episodes, I'll tell you how I do certain things as far as go to the movies or go to sporting events or even just set my alarm clock and things like that, and what I do and how I have to do things because I can't see what I'm doing for the most part. I am legally blind and I have vision of 20/200 minus one. That means that of the two letters that are on the 20/200 line, the last time I was at the doctor, I was able to read one of them. So if I don't read the other one the next time, that would give me 20/400 and so forth. The best my vision has been in my lifetime was 20/50 minus 3. And that was back when I was in high school, back in the 1980s. And in fact, I was even able to drive during the daylight hours back when I was in my late teens and early 20s. But I have been visually impaired my whole life. I was diagnosed with congenital glaucoma before I was a year old and had a handful of surgeries. I want to say 6 or 8. I don't know. When I was an infant and a toddler. And over the course of my life, I've had 17 surgeries on both my eyes. I don't remember the score. I want to say that my left eye leads my right because at this point, my right eye is useless. I used to be able to tell if it was sunny out or a light was on in a room with it, but now I've got no vision whatsoever in it. And as I said, in my left eye, which is my good eye, I have 20/200 minus 1. And that's not very good. I mean, what you could probably do to simulate that is either take a blindfold, poke some holes in it, and in those holes put Vaseline, or just take a pair of glasses and put Vaseline all over them and, you know, put a couple of dark blots to blur out vision completely in some spots. That's what my vision looks like. And it's, you know, it's difficult, but I've got different ways of doing everything, and I want to do everything. And that's part of the problem. As I was growing up when I was a kid, my parents encouraged me to do whatever I wanted. And so as I grew up and I couldn't do certain things, I got frustrated by it. And, you know, they encouraged me to play sports, which I loved to play sports. They encouraged it because they knew I loved it, but it made the little league coaches nervous. It made other parents nervous. So what did they do? They put me in the outfield where I couldn't get hurt as badly as if I was somewhere in the infield. And I loved playing third base. I loved playing second base. But again, it was kind of dangerous, but I never got seriously hurt playing. I also played football, hockey, and basketball, street hockey, not ice hockey, although I did play ice hockey once or twice on a frozen pond back when I was younger and in elementary or middle school. But the only thing that I played that was organized was baseball. And in fact, I was even a coach on my 9th grade baseball team. I tried out for the team, didn't make it, but the coach of the team liked the way I hustled after everything. And that was the thing that I do for just about anything in life is if I want to do it, I give the best that I can, and that's all that I can do. And if it works, it works. And if it doesn't, it doesn't. And that's how I especially played sports. And I miss playing them. I miss doing things like that. I miss just throwing a football around, and I miss a lot of that stuff. But I haven't done that much probably in the last 15 or 20 years just because it's so incredibly difficult now to see things that it would be dangerous for me to try. And even just picking up a lemon or a lime when I go to make iced tea, you know, I play with it like the lemon or lime, like it's a ball. And sometimes I see it and sometimes I don't, but sometimes I can still catch it as I throw it up in the air. As far as schooling goes, I was in a visually impaired resource room throughout my elementary school years, which enabled me to do both classwork with sighted kids and be with kids that were visually impaired or blind the other part of the day. And I don't know how they broke it down, but, you know, as I said, I was in learning with sighted kids for a good chunk of the day. And for the other chunk, I was with my friends who were visually impaired or blind. And the neat thing about that was that the kids in the visually impaired resource room were in different grades. So I believe we were the oldest, and then there were kids younger. So each year that we went on, there were younger kids that came on. So by the time we were in fifth grade, there were some first graders in there and second graders and third graders and so forth, which I guess also got annoying to a degree. But we did help each other out, and we made friends with people who were different ages, which in elementary school back in the day, that usually didn't happen unless you were friends with kids in your neighborhood that were different ages. As I moved on to middle school and high school, I didn't have a resource room, though I did have someone from the intermediate unit in Delaware County where I grew up and where I actually still live and have lived my entire life except for when I was in college, check in on me from the intermediate unit. And she would bring me large print books and some audio cassettes for some of the books and things like that. I was never a great student, though, whether I had those tools or not. I wasn't dumb, but I wasn't super smart either, and I probably could have done a lot better. I certainly know I could have done a lot worse. Reading and keeping up with the reading was my big thing, and I didn't know it at the time, but I would love to have had little excerpts of information like a tweet, because I could read it and then digest it and move on, or take a break and not read it. And on that note, when I did my JAWS training at the Blind Center in Chester, JAWS is a tool that's a screen reader, and it basically reads your screen. It was so refreshing to me to sit there in front of a computer but not have to look at anything and just type and listen to what I was typing and you know, surf the web without looking at anything, without the monitor being on. It wasn't nearly as exhausting as it is trying to use what little vision I have to zoom in and see things and whatnot. I currently use a Mac, so I kind of combine both using my vision, zooming in, and also having things read to me. I'm actually recording this in GarageBand, so it is a little trying because everything is visually based here with this. If I keep up with it, I promised myself that I would get a Zoom digital audio recorder. And so we'll see. I've set a goal for a number of episodes. If I get there, I'll get one. But as far as schooling goes, so high school and middle school were enjoyable to me. I mean, it was tough like any other kid goes through. There's good things and bad things. But again, I gravitated towards doing broadcasting. That was what I always wanted to do. I wanted to be a TV or radio person. And so when I was in middle school and when I was in high school, especially, we had a TV studio in the high school. I did the sports on that and I did some other things in there. And that's how I've met a lot of friends who, and, you know, 35, 40 years later, we're still, you know, good friends. So that was a lot of fun to do. I also did the PA announcing at our high school football games. I did have a spotter to help me out with the numbers because that is obviously certainly something I couldn't see, but I would read announcements and things like that. Now, unfortunately, I can't read today a printed paper. And as I was told by someone in the Keystone chapter of the National Federation of the Blind, of which I'm a member, I am functionally illiterate because I can't read a book and I can't read Braille. So because I can't read with my eyes and I can't read Braille. After high school, I did go to the University of Miami, and I was there for about 2 years and had trouble keeping up with things. And part of it was the reading, and the other part of it was that it was stuff that I wasn't really interested in because I wanted to do TV and radio and a lot of it was math and, you know, stuff that I wasn't really looking forward to going to. And when there is something like that and I'm not interested, you know, that it's just hard to keep going with it. I really wanted to go to Ithaca College, where my son Jacob went for his freshman year, and I did not get in for TV radio because I didn't send a demo reel, which was a big mistake on my part because I had plenty of things to show them. And like I said earlier, doing things differently, one of the things that I did, we did this morning show when I was in high school, that I actually used a Walkman, if you remember what those things are. Basically, they are an audio cassette recorder, full size, that you would play music on, but I had one that recorded. So what I would do, I would record a script and then put a little earpiece in and then just basically read back what I was saying on the cassette tape and look into the camera and do it that way. But I didn't do the promo reel, and so I didn't get in. I got in for general studies, but not for TV radio, and I still should have gone there and frozen my butt off, but it is what it is, and I ended up at the University of Miami for a couple of years, and the rest is history there. When I did come back, I opened a business, a West Coast video franchise, and that was a lot of fun, and I really missed that business, made a lot of good friends there. It was a fun business in general. We were always talking about entertainment and things like that, and it was just enjoyable to go in and do that sort of stuff. And for those of you who don't know, a video store is a place like Netflix that you actually had to drive to and pick up what you wanted to watch and then drive it home, watch it, and then get back in the car and take it back to the place. Can you imagine if you had to do that today? Netflix and things like that are so much better. But I do miss that business. We also sold CDs and things like that, and it was just a lot of fun. And I did make some accommodations for myself in that business, where some stores in the franchise system used a supermarket pricing gun to put the numbers on the different videotapes. I actually printed the labels from the computer so that they would be bigger and bolder for me to see, as I could still read at that time. And I know it would be difficult today just thinking about it, how a business, a small business like that, you know, to accommodate someone with a disability, it would be in most cases prohibitive. Now, that wasn't something that was prohibitive because it was basically just using a sheet of labels that you buy at the Staples or Office Max and just generating them via the computer. I used address labels, actually return address labels, and I had to do things like that. Now, that's not to say that while I was standing there helping customers and someone laughing at me as I was reading something, because I had it very close up to my face, in fact, probably touching my nose, they, you know, laughed at me, and I thought that was kind of funny. And at that point, my wife had questioned the guy about it, and he kind of backed off after that. But, you know, that's happened my entire life, as I'm sure if you have anything wrong with you, that, you know, people sometimes make fun of you, and that's just how it is. Speaking of my wife, I guess I should mention my wife and kids, because I haven't said anything about them thus far. I am married for 28 years now to my wife, Elizabeth. We have two kids, Jacob, who is 24, and Jane, who is 21. Jacob is out of school and is working, and Jane is a senior at Pace University in New York City, which if you read the blog at icancu.com, you'll see that we were just testing some different ways for me to try to get up there on my own while she is in school for her senior year, because Liz is a school teacher and works a few days, extended day. So there's a little bit of extra time where I'll be sitting around, and I'd like to get up and be able to see Jane during the term, because I don't think Liz and I are going to get a chance to get up there because Jane has so many things going on in the semester on the weekends. So one day during the week is something that I'll probably have to do on my own. We live in Swarthmore, Pennsylvania, which is right down the street from the college, if you've ever heard of that. It's in the pretty much in the heart of Delaware County. And both Liz and the kids know and have figured out how to help me do things as far as guiding me around and so forth and so on. And I know it gets annoying for them sometimes, as it gets annoying for me. So it's just something that we have to deal with, and we do the best we can with it. Liz and I have also owned a beauty supply and salon equipment business that we have since are in the process of shutting down due to various issues, one of them being my vision, but the other part being the economy and business conditions in general for it. And Liz and I also own a company called Digital Graphics Design, where we do web design and things like that, but more are now focused on affiliate marketing and digital marketing for ourselves and for other customers. And that website is dgdesign.net, although that is embarrassingly old, the site, and was made by me about 12 years ago. I've started the podcast because, as I've mentioned previously, I've wanted to get into TV and radio, and this is kind of the next best thing. And it's actually probably better because I have almost complete control over it as opposed to working at a TV or radio station. Although I am going to do some YouTube stuff as well, because when I do go on the trips that I want to go on my own, I do have a pair of Rincon glasses from iView that will record me going on my way as I'm out and about with my white cane and getting on the trains and the buses and whatnot, and going to and hopefully successfully going to where I want to go. But we'll see. And that's what I want to get out of this, is basically talking about and hoping to help people who are like me or who have loved ones or friends like me, and how they can help them better be more mobile and get out and about, because that is one thing that is an issue with people that have anything wrong with them with a disability such as a vision loss. You know, sometimes you're nervous to go out. Sometimes you're apprehensive about doing certain things. I know I am. And in the upcoming podcast episodes, I'll talk about a few things over the past few months that have happened to me. Things like how I managed when I went to Affiliate Summit and Podcast Movement, or just going to the movies that I did for the first time in 4 years just a couple days ago. And it'll give you an idea of what folks who have vision loss have to go through, and maybe you can help somebody that you know that is like me and that might be struggling. It is important for those folks like me to get out and about, because staying inside and not doing anything all day long is A, boring, and B, not good for you. So that's what I'm going to do over the next few episodes, and talk about basically how I do certain things. And along the way, there'll be some YouTube videos that I'll put up about me going out and about. I've got a set of iView Rincon glasses that are basically a video recording that I wear on my face, so I don't have to hold anything, and it just shows me maneuvering through things in the subway station or the train station or just walking down the street in a city, and it'll give you an idea of how things happen for me. It'll also give you an idea of how people jump out of the way when they see me coming, usually, not all the time, but most of the times. It's almost like if you can imagine when somebody sees a monster like Godzilla and they panic and they just freeze and they don't know which way to run and they just want to get away. And that actually happened when Jane and I went to New York last September to go to a concert, and we were walking down the street crossing in a crosswalk, and a man just froze as he saw Jane and I coming. And usually when I walk with someone, I will hold on to them, whether it's their elbow or if it's Liz and I, I'll usually hold her hand, or she'll hold my hand. I don't know which you want to say it is, but it's one of those. Jane and I sometimes will also hold hands, but I'm more comfortable, especially if I have to jump behind someone as opposed to being right next to them, with Jane or Liz. I'll usually hold their strap to their purse, which is behind them, and that's just as easy as well if we have to walk one behind the other, just so that I'm out of the way if we can't go too wide. So now you know a little bit about me and what I've gone through over my lifetime. I hope that I can inspire and motivate you in the future podcast episodes of the I Can't See You podcast, and I really do appreciate you listening all the way to the end. You probably deserve a medal. Thanks again for listening, and we'll talk to you in the future.
Thank you for listening to the I Can't See You podcast. Follow David on Twitter. He is at David Bench.